This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear God's word. Please open your King James Bible to the book of Joel, J-O-E-L, chapter 2, verse 9, where we left off last week. Joel chapter 2, verse 9. Just before we begin, I want to love and invite every one of you, men, women, boys, and girls out there who hear me, to come to my school March 23rd at 6:30 p.m. for a fantastic video with scripture by Scott Merson and his Picture Scripture Ministry. Scott is a chosen vessel. He was chosen from before the foundation of the earth. He is an anointed servant of God, and he knows how to slay demons. Scott has a unique supernatural gift. He takes pictures that reveal what is in the spiritual realm right here in the physical realm. As Scott himself says, awesome stuff. So you want to come and be blessed. March 23rd, 6:30 p.m. right here at my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, 6:30 p.m. Awesome stuff. And now, Joel chapter 2, verse 9. The book of Joel is a prophecy of these end times. It tells us what is going on right now in America and in the body of Christ. Chapter 2 is entitled The Lord's Day. We learned in Revelation chapter 1 that the Lord's Day is the second coming of Jesus, the seventh trump, the seventh action out. But we learned last time that just before Jesus comes, the Antichrist is coming. He is the dragon pretending to be the lamb. In other words, the devil with his Jesus Christ costume on. He's the false Christ. And he's coming with his fallen angels in the sky. And they were signified in the book of Joel by the locust army. They strip everything clean and they work undercover. So we studied these fallen angels. They are mentioned in graphic detail in Genesis chapter 6, also in Jude, that they are going to be preaching the gospel of their father, the devil, who is the Antichrist. But it will be so disguised that everyone except the elect, who will not be deceived, even in the Christian church, will think it's the gospel of Jesus. And so we learned about them last night. Now we're going to continue learning about these fallen angels. They're supernatural beings, and they're going to come into the Christian church, even try to come into an elect group like this, and deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. So we want to learn the enemy's method of operation.
9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the walls. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief.
All right. Now remember, they are preaching the gospel of their father. They are trying to convince that little small remnant, the elect, that their father is Jesus. They have the whole world. Revelation says the whole world will worship the devil, the Antichrist, thinking he's the Savior, and half the body of Christ will be deceived. Now, why do they run in the street? They run with their message. What is it out there in the street? We have wires that we can see, and we have wires underground that take communication, words, messages. We have wires that come up on the wall, bringing your cable and television and telephone, and on the roof, and down into the windows, your computer, yes, and your television. Now, these fallen angels are the image of the beast in Revelation 13. They are, shall we say, the political system of Satan, his kind, and Satan gives his life to them, the Antichrist, in other words, tells them what to say. And they're doing propaganda, and they come as a thief because they're coming to steal the true Christ from you, even the very elect. In other words, they are lies, but you don't realize that. See, you don't know when a thief's coming, so if somebody's stealing something from you, the truth, you might not know it.
10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. the sun and the moon shall be dark.
Now let's go back to the quaking. We're told in Hebrews 12 that God is going to shake heaven. And we're also told in Revelation 12 that Michael, the archangel, is going to shake the dragon. That's the devil. That's the Antichrist, play actor name. And his angels, his stars, the fallen angels, out of heaven, and they're coming in the sky. In Isaiah, God says this also, and the Hebrew is so cute, it makes the sound of pouring water out of a jug. The Hebrew is baka, 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 like that. In other words, they're going to be shaken out, and why does the earth tremble? Because they are so charismatic, they mesmerize you, they know the Bible, they con you, they're just really great con artists, and they just absolutely hypnotize you like a teenage girl going to a concert by a rock star.
Stars shall be told to their shining.
All right, now what about the sun and the moon shall not give her light? In the Bible, the prophecy of those of us who are God's children mentioned in sun, and that would be Jesus coming, and the moon is a prophecy of the devil. Now, the sun won't give her light because when the Antichrist comes, you know perfectly well that he's not going to let us be telling everybody that he is not Jesus, especially to the church. The moon won't give her light because the moon is a prophecy of the devil, and he's certainly not going to give you any truth. But what about the stars? That's you, elect. You'll withhold your light. Why is that? Once Satan gets here, right up to that point, as long as we can, even when the fallen angels are here, as long as we can, even when Antichrist is here, we're going to be telling the story and blowing the trumpet and warning people that that's not the right one. But somewhere in there, we've got to keep a low profile. Jesus mentioned this in the gospel. He said, if they tell you that Christ is there, meaning we would know it's the Antichrist, we would say, aha, in other words, go, see you next, see you later, go, gotta go. In other words, keep a low profile, elect, Romans 11, 7,000 of you, some of you hearing me, until you are delivered up to Antichrist. And then, don't keep a low profile. This is your time to shine. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. The whole world will hear, like Acts 2. And then shall the gospel be preached unto every nation.
Amen. 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army.
Now, that means the Lord's going to say, okay, army, get ready. I'm about to come the second time. What army? Now, he has an army in heaven. Some of our loved ones, some great saints we know, some of the remnant that's going back, they're preparing. But he has an army right here in the flesh on earth. And some of us meet here every Wednesday night, the warrior work. And we're praying. He's developing his army. It's a very small few so that we can be his weapon. Did you know the elect are the arrows in God's quiver? We are the arrows. We are going to shoot. We are the bruises. We are the ships of Chittim. We are the arrows. We're preparing. We're preparing here on Wednesday night till I say elect connect. So he's telling those in heaven that are about to come with him, and he's telling us right here, those of you in the room, many of you listening, he's telling us, be prepared. So I say, all of you warriors elect, come here on Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. It's the warrior's work. We pray in prayer. We're just bringing down strongholds. Come on.
For his camp is very great, for he is strong that exercises his word.
Now, when he says his army camp is great, it doesn't mean that we're, you know, so great and powerful and, you know, braggadocio, egotistical. It means that we have great power. Daniel says at the end times that the elect will do exploits. We are warriors. We have the power over all the powers of demons and devils and fallen angels, the Antichrist himself. And it says, for they are great that exercises his word. Well, that army in heaven, the reason they are that army, that when they were here in the flesh, they did the word. But we, the elect right here, Romans 11, 7,000, we are not weak baby Christians because we exercise the word. James said, don't be hearers of the word, but do it. We walk in it. The word says, go there, and we go. The word says, call that person. We call that person. The word says, give that, and we give that. We're just walking in the word. We're exercising the word. Hallelujah. Okay, he says, we're great. It means we are strong for him. We're great. You know, you say to your child, I always would say to my music students, oh, you're so great. You did so good. So God says that about you, elect.
For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible.
That's the second coming. Terrible means awesome. So Scott is awesome stuff.
And who can abide it?
You can abide it because the Bible says that if you do not fall off to that fate, one has fallen angels. When Jesus comes, you will be the only ones to gather around Jesus on this planet Earth, along with those he brings with them. You can stand it because you know the order of the trumps. We taught them in Revelation. Six trump is Antichrist, seven is Jesus. Jesus is not making a sneak preview before six. He's very orderly. So you can stand.
Well, therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. 13.
Now, this is the equivalent. Jesus tells us what to do just before he comes. Now, he's already addressed the United States of America in the earlier chapter of Joel. He is talking now to the body of Christ, and especially in America. He's saying the same thing. He's telling us what to do so we will be able to stand and be able to stand now and be great arrows and great weapons for him in the spiritual warfare. It's the equivalent of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Those of you in cyberspace know it. Quote it with me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's fast, and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. And he said, I will forgive your sins. I will hear from heaven. I will heal your land. So see, we have that opportunity. It's the last window.
Rend your heart and not your garment.
In Bible times, when they would fast and cry out to God for help, they would take their clothes off and rend them and say, man, I'm naked before you, Lord. I can't do anything without your help. So here's what you do, Christian, church, body of Christ. You rend your heart. What do? Tear off you off the throne of your heart. Rend yourself from the being on the throne. Tear yourself, me, myself, and I. Give me, pray for me. Tear it up and die to yourself and let Jesus come and sit on the throne of your heart. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil.
He doesn't want this evil any more than we do.
14. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him?
Who knows? We know, because the Bible says he would forgive us. If we do the ifs, he'll keep the promises. Now, when he comes, he will answer our prayer, and we're going to do what he tells us to do. He's going to answer our prayer. But when he comes, he's got blessings. But do you know he already has blessings? God gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit gives gifts severally as he wills. He gives the word of knowledge. He will speak through a yielded vessel who's not on the throne of their own heart. And he will speak to someone a word of encouragement or something about something, and it'll just be such a blessing. He gives the word of wisdom to understand the word of God and rightly divide it on the third level with the anointing. He would give the gift of faith. Now, everybody is given a measure of faith, but there is a gift of faith where you can actually walk by sight, and just walk by faith, not by sight. You can walk on the water. And so there is that gift of faith. People, you want, when you ask someone to pray for you, make sure that they have faith, and that'll work. He gives you the gift of discernment of spirits. Nobody would have to tell you when a demon walks in piggyback on another. You have that. You would know it. You can feel it. You can smell it. You can hear it, can't you? Yes, you can. He gives you the gifts of prophecy. A prophet is an anointed speaker of the truth of God who also has visions and revelations of God. He'll give you that gift. It's such a blessing. He'll give you the gift of healing. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. He'll give you the gift of miracles. A blind person who could not see a postage stamp can now see a postage stamp. He'll give you a miracle, the gift of miracles. He'll give you the gift of tongues, speaking in the language of the Holy Spirit. And he'll give you the gift of interpretation of those tongues. By the way, if you hear me speaking in a language you don't know, in one split second when I speak it. It is the Lord speaking his language. It will come out in English. I don't have time to say the interpretation is. He interprets it, because Paul tells us not to do that unless we have an interpreter. So I ask for that. So anytime you hear that come through me, you'll have to be right on the ball there and hear that interpretation will come. He also gives the gift of helps. This is a person who would look to see what they could do for you. They just love to help, but they don't get tired of helping. And they just listen to you. And, oh, what can I do to make it better for you? And there's the gift of hospitality. And there's the gift of encouragement. There's the gift of playing the piano and the anointing falls. There's the gift of taking pictures and spiritual things manifest. He gives blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, why does he do that? Okay, let's find out why he does that.
Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God.
So that you can use those gifts and give them back to you. Nothing is given to you to keep. You use every talent, every gift, every dollar, every dime, every hour, everything you've got, telephone, computer, texting machine, smartphone, everything you have, home, place, tent, puppy dog, everything is to be given back to him. Our talents are given for God's glory and to bless mankind. As we use these gifts and walk in the anointing of these gifts, people are changed, the atmosphere changed, lives are made better, the dead raised, the sick are healed, demons flee, miracles occur, we change the atmosphere, and therefore we have given it to God. Our gifts are for God's glory, not for ours. Hallelujah. Praise God.
15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. 16.
Now, he told us to do this. When you study your Bible, most people just read it, and Paul tells you to do all these things and go repent and go to your friend and go give. Most of you just read it and say, okay, I read my Bible today. No, it's your instruction manual. If your boss tells you to do something, you don't say, that was nice of you, tell me what to do and sit there. So we're going to do this. Now, he told us last time to do this. So we're going to do this, 15th verse. In the name of Jesus, hear me, body of Christ in America. I am calling a special day, a repent event, for the entire body of Christ in the United States of America to come together on the airways to repent, to confess, to turn to Jesus, and back to the Word. There are elect in all 50 states of this great country. If Holy Spirit's quickening you, my announcer's going to give you my number at the end of this program. Call me and let's connect. I ask those of you in the media who have networks and technology to help me. And as soon as I get enough response, we'll call this day. And God will forgive our sins and heal our land. You prayer warriors, you prophets, hear me. Elect, connect in Jesus' name. We can come right here into my school, bring the technology. And from this place, we can do this repentance all over America. Elect, connect. And we're going to obey God.
The people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breath.
Milk bottle Christians, you can come too.
Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet.
So this means everybody who's a Christian in America, baby Christians, priests, ministers, pastors, laymen, people who are backslidden, boys and girls. Just like Jonah preached to Nineveh, and everybody in Nineveh was saved. This can happen in America. God's word promises this if we'll do the ifs. So we're calling this day of repentance in America. Come on, media, help me out. Come on, elect, connect.
17, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar.
Now these are the true priests, Revelation 1. This would be the elect. And it says weep. In other words, we're going to weep and howl. Now, all of you who are going to pray, we don't want any pretty prayers. We don't want written prayers. We don't want organized prayers. We want power prayers to get the shuttle up, the fire. And we're going to weep and howl for the sins of the body of Christ. This is repentance for the body of Christ. Once the body of Christ in America is made whole, America will be all right. So all of you out there, come on the porch, the people outside of the church, and the people inside of the church. Many people are saved who do not go to church because you know better than to drink milk. You want meat. By the way, we have meat here.
And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach.
Save your people, Father God, and save America, and give not your heritage to the heathen. Now, we know there are 12 tribes of Israel, and all 12 tribes belong to the seed of Abraham, and they are a heritage. Two of the tribes are in the land of Israel, house of Judah, but 10 of the tribes were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, traveled over the Caucasus Mountains, migrated into Europe, across the Atlantic Ocean, into Canada, and these United States of America. Now, our heritage is a Christian nation, but you see the enemy has come in and taken our land because, body of Christ, you've been giving milk instead of meat. You've been thinking about yourself and worshiping mammon instead of God.
That the heathen should rule over them.
Right now, these four stages of the locust armies, the Kenites, the four hidden dynasties, are ruling in America and destroyed our land. Do you know the difference?
Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?
Right now, the world is saying, look at that Christian nation, America. Look at that. They're in worse trouble than we are. Where is your God, Christians?
Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people.
Now, you know, God says, my name is jealous. Anytime you love someone, if they have another suitor, you get jealous for them. And he says, I will pity my people. God is very jealous because our leaders, instead of making Jesus Christ the Lord of America, have made a fake God, a God of a certain group of people. Even our leader in the White House goes to their places of worship. And so you see, God is jealous of this.
19. Yea, the Lord will answer and will say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith.
Now, so God says, I will answer that. Now, most of you are saying, oh boy, we're going to have prosperity again. We're going to have money again. No. If you're an elect, that's not what you're looking for. He'll take care of that. The corn is bread, because see, right now, again, I say it, Amos 8:11, we have a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of every word of God. God says, if you'll do that, I'll put mine elect in the teaching and pulpits, and mine elect will teach Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, book, chapter, verse, and line, from the manuscripts, by the anointing. No more books about the book, no more quarterlies, no more one verse and 3 points, no more traditions of men which make void the word of God. And I will give the wine back. You will come back to telling people that what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The wine is the blood. And I will give you the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit. I will anoint you, my church, so that you can do exploits right here at the end, that all may know that there is a God in America, a God in Israel.
Amen. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen.
They will no more fly their planes into your towers and kill your people, these terrorists.
But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his tender part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things.
Now, who is this northern country? It is answered in Ezekiel chapter 39, beginning with verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 39, beginning with verse 11. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day, what day? The day of the Lord, of which Joel is writing, that I will give unto Gog, G-O-G, I'll explain, a place in Israel, the valley of the passengers, on the east by the sea. And it shall come up to their noses for a stench to the passengers. In other words, it's going to smell bad. And I will bring their Gog, G-O-G, and all the multitudes, meaning all nations, and it shall be called the Valley of Hamon-Gog. Now that is right now about to happen as soon as Jesus comes, just at that second coming. Now the answer to Gog is found in Ezekiel 38. It says, Gog and Magog, prince chief of Meshach, in the Hebrew reads, Rush, rush by the Volga, Russia. Now Genesis says Esau is Edom. Edom's name in the Hebrew, Rush, rush, rush by the Volga. The Bible says Esau is coming against Jacob. Esau is Edom, is Russia, coming against Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel. two tribes of Israel called in the house of Judah are in the land of Israel. 10 tribes of Israel in the United States of America. Russia is coming against America. Why? There's a broad strip of desolate land called Alaska. Not too many people in a long area there. That's where the dead bodies and the stench is going to be. America bought Alaska from Russia for $7 million. And Russia's been mad about that ever since. As Donald Trump says, it was a great deal. And they've been mad. They want to take it back. Now, so Russia is coming against America to reclaim that. This is the battle of Hamagog, which takes place just as Jesus comes. There's another battle happening at the same time, just about, the Battle of Armageddon. That will happen in the land of Israel, where our brother Judah is. So, you see, Russia is that deadly wound that was healed, that barehead, the political system, in Revelation 13, in the first part there. He was healed. Russia looked like they were out of the picture. And now, look at him. He's so powerful, he's taking back all of his land. So this is a prophecy of Russia coming in against the United States of America. That whole place, when Jesus comes, those warriors in heaven coming with him are going to throw down great big hailstones on them coming against America. We will not fight them with our army, but God will fight the battle with the hailstones, and it'll kill them, and there'll be just this long place of dead, stinking bodies. Hallelujah. However, not one hair of your head shall be harmed, elect. And with that, we'll stop there and begin right there next time. God bless you. Yep, that's the Bible. That's it. So, you no wonder Russia's raising its ugly head. But it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand God's Word. And we are going to obey. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion. So, yes, we'll do that. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, why did Jesus have to fast? To create a weakness in himself. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. In other words, he was hungry. See, he did it to show you that when you're tempted, when you feel weak, when you're frustrated, you've been working too hard, things been going bad, you don't feel well, that you can overcome. For we are told that when we are weak, the Lord is strong. Jesus overcame by saying, it is written, and he quoted the Bible. So when we are weak and the temptation comes, and we say, I was justified losing my temper because I didn't feel good and I've been working hard. No. He said, you can overcome. You say, it is written in Jesus' name. We add that, and then we say the word. And that does it. He showed us how to do it. See, he didn't have any weakness, so he was tempted in every way just like we are, yet without sin. Praise God. Dear Sherry, whatever happened to Jesus' mother, Mary? Well, we know that Jesus from the cross told John to take Mary home and be a son to her. We also heard of Mary at Pentecost when she was at the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. The Bible gives us nothing else, but history does. There is a book called The Drama of the Lost Disciple, and its history. And Mary went with her rich uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, the tin man. He was in tin. He was rich. To England to begin the Church of England. I have that book and that information, so that is what happened. Yes, Joseph of Arimathea was Mary's uncle. Nobody could claim the body of Jesus except the nearest relative. And, of course, women weren't counted too much there. So, obviously, her husband, Joseph, who was not related to Jesus, obviously had been called home to God. So Joseph of Arimathea was able to claim even the body of Jesus. That's where she went. They built these little huts and things. It's very interesting to read. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 12:9, it says there's war in heaven. What in the world does that mean? That would be in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, Isaiah 14. When Satan, who was called Lucifer then, said, I will be God, he betrayed God, and we were all there in spiritual bodies. We were called the angels. And it says there that Archangel Michael, and his angels fought against the dragon, that's the devil, and his angels. In other words, a lot of the children, minus the flesh, followed Satan. But some of us, When Michael said, I need some help, we raised up our hand. That means we appointed. We said, we will. So Michael called your elect warriors, and we got up and fought with Michael tooth and nail against the devil and his angels. That's why the elect were chosen then, because we fought for God. We were not in a spirit, a physical body. We're in a spiritual body. Hallelujah. We get the victory. And that's why the first shall be last. That's why he set out the toughest ones, the strongest ones, not any favoritism, except, of course, I mean, we didn't betray him then, and the ones that got up first are here last. The first shall be last. Hallelujah. We got one more war, and we have the victory. Praise God. Okay, dear Sherry, is the Constitution biblical? Absolutely. It was taken from the common law of England, which is the Bible. So you see, when our leaders break the Constitution, they're breaking the Word of God, and whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, I hope that helped you. Now, the most important thing is for all of you to be saved. If you're not sure you're saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your Word.
Grow me in your Word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
I will.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
Okay, I hope you prayed that. When my announcer gives you my telephone number, you might like to call me and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Say your name, and I will pray for you in my intercessory ministry time every morning. Now, for those of you who are sick, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and the Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. In the name and the power of Jesus, north, south, east, and west, all healing virtue of Jesus, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Go out into the places, dear God, where there is pain. In the name of Jesus, pain stop. Jesus bore your pains. Let the dead bones come back and be strong, weak bones. Let deaf ears hear and blind eyes see. Let hearts beat and livers be healed, and kidneys and colon and bladders and spleens and pancreatic cancer be gone. Fibromyalgia, arthritis, vertebrae be perfectly aligned. Pinched nerves be unpinched. Pelvic, private parts on women, private parts on men. Prostrate, feet and toes and bones and heart and blood. Blood clots be gone. In the name and the power of Jesus, arise. Take up your bed and walk. Be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Praise to the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Now, you receive it and you believe it. And when you call me, call and say, I was healed, and I'll pray for you too. I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. Word and Prayer. Each Wednesday, we're teaching another book, and then we do our prayer warrior. Oh, boy, come on, elect connect. Now, don't forget, come to my school March 23rd, 6:30 p.m. for Scott Merson and his Picture Scripture Ministry. Awesome stuff. I love all of you. God bless you. I want you to stay in God's Word. I want you to go and tell. Invite people to come to Trumpet Truth Live. Invite people to hear me on the radio. I'm on the internet. WMIEFM.com on demand. WMIEFM.com. Go and tell and bring them in. I love you, and God bless you. Keep you. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. I love each one of you. God bless you and keep you in perfect peace. And if God is willing, I will see you next time.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
My life is leading me down the road that's so uncertain. Now I am left alone and I am broken, trying to find my way, trying to find the faith that's gone. This time I know that you are whole.
Christ, my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, Savior prayed, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Oh, how Savior and friend, how can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my song shall praise him forevermore.
Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see
listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Thank you. heart in the street of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to
we figured out this world is bigger than you and I. We've exhausted our wealth of knowledge, have no more answers for mankind. And we've had every conversation in the world about what is right and what has all gone bad. But have I mentioned to you that this is all I am, this is all that I have? And I'm not trying to judge you, no, that's not my job. I am just a seeker too, in search of God. Somewhere, somehow, this subject became taboo. I have no other way to communicate to you that this is all that I have, this is all that I am. And we've had every conversation in the about what is right and what has all gone bad. But have I mentioned to you that this is all I am, this is all that I have? And I would like to share with you what makes me complete. I don't claim to have found the truth, but I know it has found me. The only thing that isn't meaningless to me is Jesus Christ and the way he set me free. And this is all that I have, this is all that I am. It's all that I have, and it's all. The only thing that isn't Christ and the way he set me free. And this is all that I have, this is all that I am. It's all that I have, and it's all that I am. It's all that I have, and it's all. Know that I care for you, and I'm speaking from my heart.
Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Free. mind finds hard to believe that you become humanity and change the course of history because you left me so. And my heart cannot understand why you'd accept me as I am. But you see, you've always had a plan, and that's all I need to know. So when I am consumed by what the